He crouched down beside Harry, who saw through the infinitesimal gap left between his swollen eyelids a face covered in matted grey hair and whiskers, with pointed brown teeth and sores at the corners of his mouth. Greyback smelled as he had done at the top of the tower where Dumbledore had died, of dirt, sweat, and blood.
"So you aren't wanted then, Vernon? Or are you on that list under a different name? What house were you in at Hogwarts?"
"Slytherin," said Harry automatically.
"Funny how they all thinks we want to hear that,"
jeered Scabure out of the shadows.
"But none of them can tell us where the common room is."
"It's in the dungeons," said Harry clearly. "You enter through the wall, it's full of skulls and stuff, and it's under the lake, so the light's all green." There was a short pause.
"Well, well, looks like we really have caught a little Slytherin," said Scabure. "Good for you, Vernon, 'cause there ain't a lot of mudblood Slytherins. Who's your father?"
"He works at the Ministry," Harry lied. He knew that his whole story would collapse with the smallest investigation, but on the other hand, he only had until his face regained its usual appearance before the game was up in any case. "Department of Magical Accidents and Catastrophes."
"You know what, Greyback," said Scabure, "I think there is a Dudley in there."
Harry could barely breathe. Could luck, sheer luck, get them safely out of this?
"Well, well," said Greyback,
and Harry could hear the tiniest note of trepidation in that callous voice, and knew that Greyback was wondering whether he had indeed just attacked and bound the son of a ministry official. Harry's heart was pounding against the ropes around his ribs. He would not have been surprised to know that Greyback could see it.
"If you're telling the truth, Ugly, you've got nothing to fear from a trip to the Ministry. I expect your father will reward us just for picking you up."
"But," said Harry, his mouth bone dry, "if you just let us..."
"Hey!"
came a shout from inside the tent.
"Look at this, Greyback!"
A dark figure came bustling toward them, and Harry saw a glint of silver in the light of their wands. They had found Gryffindor's sword.
"Very nice,"
said Greyback appreciatively, taking it from his companion.
"Oh, very nice indeed. Looks goblin made, that. Where did you get something like this?"
"It's my father's," Harry lied, hoping against hope that it was too dark for Greyback to see the name etched just below the hilt. "We borrowed it to cut firewood."
"Hang on a minute, Greyback! Look at this! In the Prophet!"
As Scabure said it, Harry's scar, which was stretched tight across his distended forehead, burned savagely. More clearly than he could make out anything around him, he saw a towering building, a grim fortress, jet black and forbidding. Voldemort's thoughts had suddenly become razor sharp again. He was gliding toward the gigantic building with a sense of calmly euphoric purpose.
"So close. So close."
With a huge effort of will, Harry closed his mind to Voldemort's thoughts, pulling himself back to where he sat, tied to Ron, Hermione, Dean, and Griphook in the darkness, listening to Greyback and Scabure.
"Hermione Granger,"
Scabure was saying,
"the mudblood who is known to be travelling with Harry Potter."
Harry's scar burned in the silence, but he made a supreme effort to keep himself present, not to slip into Voldemort's mind. He heard the creak of Greyback's boots as he crouched down in front of Hermione.
"You know what, little girlie? This picture looks a hell of a lot like you."
"It isn't. It isn't me."
Hermione's terrified squeak was as good as a confession.
"Known to be travelling with Harry Potter,"
repeated Greyback quietly. A stillness had settled over the scene. Harry's scar was exquisitely painful, but he struggled with all his strength against the pull of Voldemort's thoughts. It had never been so important to remain in his own right mind.
"Well, this changes things, doesn't it?"
whispered Greyback.